right, let's take our Bibles out, please, and let's turn together to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. The last time we were together in 2 Kings, we concluded chapter 3, so we'll begin in verse number 1 of this chapter. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, and our text tonight covers verses 1 through 7, so let's begin by reading our text together. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him, and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so very much for the Lord's Day. Thank you for the refreshing that it is to be in your presence and in the fellowship of your people. Thank you for ministering to our hearts, our spirits, through the music once again. Lord, as we open your word, we just pause to ask for your help, for your guidance tonight as we study your word. I ask, Lord, that your spirit would be our guide and teacher tonight, that he would guide our thoughts and words, that you would take the word of God and apply it to our hearts, Lord, and just give nourishment to our souls, put strength and health in our bones spiritually tonight. Please make your word an encouragement and a help where it is needed most, Lord, and may every person here tonight receive a blessing. I pray that you'd help us to honor you throughout the remainder of this evening by all that we say and do. And even now as we give heed to your word, Lord, we ask that you would help us to honor you in that and show you that you are worth more than anything and anyone. Lord, may we heed your voice tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At the time when Elijah had made his dynamic departure from earth to heaven, Elisha had asked as a parting gift from Elijah that he might receive a double portion of his spirit, that is, a double portion of his spiritual giftedness. Well, the Lord verified that he had granted that request by enabling Elisha to perform certain miracles. That's kind of how Elisha tested it out. He says, hey, where is the Lord God of Elisha? He smites the Jordan River with his mantle, the waters part, and everyone else concludes, hey, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on him. Yeah, he got the double portion, and it was evidenced by the miracles that Elisha was enabled to perform. Some estimate that Elisha worked double or twice the number of miracles as Elijah did during his ministry, again, as evidence of that double portion, though we can argue this, that Elijah's ministry is not finished yet, because according to Revelation chapter 11, he will yet again be working some miracles, so he's going to get to tally up some more before it's all said and done. But God has certainly used Elisha to perform some amazing miracles, particularly surrounding water. He parted water, purified water, provided water. And in the chapter 3 of 2 Kings, we saw how Elisha was most recently used in working a miracle to help three kings, the king of Israel, Judah, and Edom. He helped these three kings in providing water for them and for their army. So Elisha has been used to help three men in high and powerful positions. But when we come to 2 Kings chapter 4, we find Elisha helping not three men in very high positions, but three people in a very low position, a very low circumstance. You have a widow and two sons. This reveals the good character of Elisha. He would not only be used of God to provide water for three kings, but he would be used of God to help provide oil for three people in a desperate situation. Elisha was no respecter of persons. We find that he was just as willing to help the lowly as he was the elite. In fact, if we could bring Elisha back for an interview today and we would say, Elisha, to whom did you prefer to minister while you were on earth? Did you enjoy more ministering to arrogant kings in high positions or to lowly, humble folks? I think he would say, I would rather serve the humble and lowly. Because generally speaking, one finds a more receptive and appreciative audience with the lowly. Proverbs 16:19 says, better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. And here Elisha is going to minister to some lowly people in some lowly circumstances. Tonight for our message, we're going to explore this topic together. She borrowed her way out of debt. She borrowed her way out of debt, as we see a unique miracle in which a poor widow, in a sense, borrowed her way out of debt. And what we learn tonight will, among other things, encourage us to know that the Lord Himself is concerned for the humble and lowly. It's not that He cares only for kings and for armies, but He cares for widows and widows' children. He cares for us. We're also going to see that God is able and willing to provide in miraculous ways if necessary in order to provide for our every need. God cares for us. Let's note three key ideas seen in this true story. First of all, we'll note the cry. Secondly, the compassion. And thirdly, the clearing. So let's begin in verse 1 with the cry. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. So after receiving a visit by three kings, the king of Israel, Judah, and Edom, Elisha now receives a visit from a lowly widow. This woman's husband, as described in our text, had himself been a prophet. He was one of the sons of the prophets who had received or else was in the process of receiving training in one of the schools of the prophets. And though this man had feared the Lord, he had died, and his widow was left in a very desperate situation. She was unable to pay her family's debts. And so the creditor had come to take her sons, Rufus and Clovis, and make them slaves to work as slaves in paying off the debt. She finds no other help. She has no other family members, perhaps, that are able or willing to help. She's left in a desperate situation, and she comes to the man of God, Elisha, who had known her husband. And this woman has hope that Elisha might help her in receiving help from the Lord. She was blessed to have someone to whom she could cry that could help get help from the Lord. You and I, when we face needs in our lives, we have someone better than Elisha. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can come to Him for grace to help in any time of need, because though He is a great high priest, He is the great high priest. He is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He feels our need. He knows our needs, and He's willing to help us anytime and with any kind of trouble. So this woman comes and she cries to Elisha. We need to recognize in this incident described in verse 1 that death is not always evidence of chastening or judgment by God. This man who died feared the Lord. He was preparing for ministry, and yet he died. And the scriptures offer us no further explanation, simply states the fact. You and I must leave such situations with God and trust that His way is perfect and that He only does what is best for His own. 1 Kings 14:13 says this of one of Jeroboam's descendants, "He only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the God of Israel." In some cases, a person's death is evidence of goodness in them. Isaiah 57 and verse 1 says, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." So this man, this son of the prophets, he was, you might say, a preacher boy, someone preparing for ministry, himself a prophet, a preacher. He feared the Lord, and yet he died. There's also something to be said here regarding debt. Debt. And it may be that this family had no debt before the death of the husband, but they were afterward unable to pay bills and so got into debt. Sometimes debt is the result of unexpected life events. That happens. But whatever the reason, this family was in debt and they were therefore left at the mercy of a creditor, which is a dangerous and a frightful situation in which to be. Today, though, many times people are in situations similar to this, not merely by circumstance, but because of unwise choices. Today, how many families live as slaves to creditors because of unwise spending? A slave to a credit card company. Someone has said this, "When your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will soon be your downfall." And contentment with what God gives us and what He provides will protect us from becoming slaves to creditors. We'll read later on in chapter 6 and verse 5 of another miracle God uses Elisha to perform. And again, it involves borrowing. And here's this cry of this preacher boy. "The axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, 'Alas, master, for it was borrowed.'" Be careful about borrowing. Now, this is a unique situation. Here's a woman who's going to borrow her way out of debt. Okay, that's a miracle. That doesn't work financially in the world apart from God intervening in a special way. You can borrow yourself into debt, but not likely borrow yourself out of it. Proverbs 21:20 says, "There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up." Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." And Paul exhorted us in Romans 13:8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another." We ought to seek to avoid debt wherever possible. It applies to individual people. It applies to families. It applies to churches. And it applies to nations. And as it applies to our nation, the United States, we might wonder here, what will happen when all of our creditors come calling at once demanding payment for the debts which we have continually incurred through wasteful spending and programs which often reward and support lazy and wicked lifestyles? 2 Thessalonians 3:10 says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." That's what the Bible teaches. And yet we, in many cases, are servants to creditors, even as a nation. As Christians, we need to determine by God's grace that we're going to honor Him with all that He gives us. And as we do that, it will help us to avoid all kinds of avoidable financial pressures and troubles. There are things that happen in life in God's providence that are beyond our control. And yet, we have a responsibility as stewards of all that God gives us to wisely use what he's given to us. And if we'll do that, we can avoid a lot of trouble. Psalm 37 says this, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not..." "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." You take all those words in their context, and here's what you find. A good man, that is one who lets the Lord order his steps, one who delights in the ways of the Lord, will not lack the Lord's provision. But if we order our own steps, I'm going to do this, and we don't follow the Word of God, the principles of Scripture, we may find ourselves in want and in debt. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Now listen, if Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 are true, then Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 are true. And if we'll honor the Lord, he will provide for our needs. Malachi chapter 3, the Lord explained to his people that the reason they were lacking materially is because they were guilty of robbing God of tithes and offerings. And tithing, by the way, preceded the law, and it extends beyond the law afterward. Jesus said to those Pharisees that they tithe of, you know, down to the smallest things, they left off the weightier matters of the law, but he said this, "These ought ye to have done and not to have left the other undone." Jesus wasn't against tithing. And we rob ourselves when we rob God of tithes and offerings. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be given unto you." He said, "Give and it shall be given unto you." Paul said to the church at Philippi, which was the first church to begin supporting his ministry, they sent to his need time and time again, and he said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." So there's a lesson here about incurring debt, perhaps through some unwise choices and not honoring the Lord with our finances. We need to honor the Lord with all that he gives us. There's the cry. Secondly, there's the compassion. The compassion. Verses 2 through 4. "For all his hard preaching, for all his rebuking of wicked men, such as when Jehoram, king of Israel, arrived at his house, Elisha was a man of compassion who desired to help others." As we read in verse 2, when Elisha hears this woman's plea, he asks, "What shall I do for thee?" In other words, "How can I help you? How may I help you?" And then, as Elisha goes about helping this woman, he gives her some instruction. He asks her, first of all, what she had. "What do you have in your house?" Well, first of all, this woman had a house. That's a good thing. She has a house. Her family owned a house. She also had within that house, perhaps not great furniture, but she had a pot of oil. She's got a pot of oil, which would have been used perhaps for cooking, for medicine, or maybe even lighting lamps. So Elisha says, "What do you have?" Many times when God goes about helping us, he begins with what he's already given us, what he's already placed in our hands, and as we place it at his disposal, he may use that very thing in the process of meeting a need. Says, "What do you have in your house?" "I've got a pot of oil." Okay, that's where we'll begin. We'll start with what you have to get what you still need. Elisha then says to the woman, "Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." That's a reverse way of saying borrow a lot, borrow many of these vessels. Well, this was interesting instruction for this woman, right? You're in debt, and he says, "Go borrow." Maybe she's thinking, that's how we got into this mess. tells her to go borrow vessels, not a few. It may have seemed like strange instructions to this woman and her sons, as they perhaps were in debt for that very reason of unwise borrowing, and they had become servants to the lender. Well, obeying this certainly would have required some faith on this woman's part and on her son's part. We're in debt, and you're saying to go borrow. And he hasn't told her what all is going to happen. He just says, hey, go borrow vessels. You know, the Lord does not always expect us, or he doesn't expect us to always understand his commands, but he just requires us to trust and obey. It may not make sense, but just trust and obey. Beyond that, this woman's and her son's diligence in borrowing empty pots, as well as their neighbor's willingness to lend them, would be the only limit to the blessing which the Lord would pour out. If she had known what God intended to do beyond, how would it have affected how she responded to that command? If he said, I'm going to fill every pot with oil that you could find, do you think they would have went all out and been all in about borrowing empty vessels? Would you? I would. I mean, I'd be like, okay, let's go get some empty vessels here. Yeah. She didn't know that. She was just called to trust and obey. God's miraculous provision is never intended to make us lazy or to make us stingy. He says, go. Go and borrow. And if we would see God do great and mighty things, we must obey him wholeheartedly. Luke chapter 5 gives us a good illustration of this principle. Jesus says to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. The net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now, we believe in the verbal inspiration of Scripture here. That is, we believe that every word, every jot and tittle is exactly what God intended it to be. And when Jesus said to Peter, let down the nets, he intended for Peter to let down the nets. He does. Peter gives what you might call partial obedience. He says, okay, I'll let down the net. Probably not going to catch anything anyhow, but just to be, you know, courteous to you, yeah, I'll let the net down. And what happens? The net breaks. You say, well, God had to do that to turn Peter away from fishing to following Jesus. Baloney. God didn't have to break Peter's fishing net in order to get him to follow Jesus, okay? And when Jesus intends to fill nets, he intends for us to let down the nets. And if Peter had let down the nets, they would have been filled but not broken. And sometimes we limit God by our unbelief. And we obey a little bit. You know, we'll go along with it, and, you know, so everything looks cool. Sure, preacher. Yeah, we'll do that. We'll go ahead and let the net down. That's not what Jesus said. When God says nets, he intends to fill nets, not a net. And when Elisha says, I want you to go borrow vessels, not a few, empty vessels, go get them. Go get those empty vessels. Again, like this woman's neighbors, you and I should be willing to lend, especially to those in need, those who fear the Lord. This woman and her sons were to be diligent in borrowing these vessels, and her neighbors were to be willing to lend to them. God cared for the poor. He cared for them even in his law. He made special provision for for caring and providing for the poor. We read in a lunchtime devotional this afternoon of how God had told his people, when you reap down your fields, you're not going to go over it twice. You're not going to cut the corners. You're going to leave that there for those in need. God wanted his people to be generous, to be giving. And these neighbors' willingness to give these empty vessels played part in providing for her need. Again, Psalm 37, verse 25, I have been young, Now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth. His seed is blessed. This good man whose steps are ordered by the Lord has his needs provided. His seed is not begging bread, and one of the reasons for that is because he himself has been merciful and has lended or lent to others. Those who give and lend may not find themselves in a position where they need to beg, borrow, or steal. Proverbs 19:17 says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord." When these people said, "Hey, here, yeah, we got some clay pots. How many you need? We have some empty vessels. Take all you want." As they're doing that, they're not just giving to this widow and her two sons. They're giving to the Lord, and God will be no man's debtor. Proverbs 28:27, "He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse." Would you rather have no lack or many curses? The Lord says, "Give to the poor." Matthew 5:42, "Give to him that asketh thee. From him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away." So this woman had to, by faith, obey the command to go out to borrow these empty vessels. Her neighbors need to be generous and being willing to lend to her. We also might consider here, by way of spiritual application, that God himself is looking for empty vessels, vessels of all shapes, sizes, and colors, whom he may fill with the oil of his Spirit to be used and being poured out as a blessing in this world. Empty vessels. That's what God's looking for. 2 Chronicles 16:9, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him." God is looking for empty vessels, those that he can fill, to pour, use in pouring out, being a blessing to others. Now, God is not looking to show us strong on his behalf, but he is looking to show himself strong on our behalf when we recognize our emptiness, that without him we can do nothing. Paul said, "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It is the God who fills, who alone is worthy of glory." When these pots come up full of oil, no one's going to say, "Man, where did you get those miracle-working pots? That's amazing. Do you think your neighbors have any more pots like that? Self-filling pots." No, it wasn't that. They were just empty vessels that got filled. Again, the Lord will not fill a vessel which is already full. He says, "I want you to go borrow empty vessels, not the ones that are full. I don't want the ones that are full. I can't fill them. I want you to go find empty vessels." Our problem in coming to God with our needs, even, is that we're not too empty, but we are too full. We're too full of cares, pleasures, pride, self, worldliness, and just plain sin to be filled with his fullness. Later on, we're going to read that when all these vessels are full, they're going to be set aside. Verse 4, "Thou shalt set aside that which is full." Now here he's making a positive reference that those vessels are going to be filled. But guess what? Some things, or some vessels, spiritually speaking, are so full they have to just be set aside. Can't use that vessel. Too full of the world. Too full of self. Too full of whatever. I can't use it, so I just set it aside. I don't know about you. I don't want to be set aside. I want to be used of God. But as the Lord's servants, you and I must come to him and present our bodies, our lives, holy and holy, to be used as his channels of blessing. Give him our empty vessel. "Lord, I have nothing to offer you, but I give you my vessel." Purged, cleansed. Paul said, "If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work." Finally, tonight, there's the clearing seen in verses 5 through 7. Elisha had said to the woman in verse 3, "Go, Verse 5, so she went. She did as he said. This woman goes, her sons, perhaps they're the ones doing the majority of the borrowing. They're going to bring the vessels to her, bring them back to her. Those are some good boys, by the way, willing to help and serve their mother in that way. But they go out, they borrow as many empty vessels as they could find. And then, again, following Elisha's instruction, they go into their house. Maybe they go into the pantry. But they find some inner place. And again, following Elisha's instructions, they close the door. They close the door. They shut the door upon themselves. And there she pours oil from the pot which she already has. And she fills the borrowed empty vessels until they are full. That original pot of oil in her house just keeps pouring out until there's no more pots to fill. It was not that the oil ran out, it was just that there were no more empty vessels to be filled with that oil. Well, this was a miracle. We can be reminded from this incident that God does his filling in secret. He does it in secret, in the closet, when we close the door. Shut out all other sights and sounds when we're not ensnared by seeking to be seen of people. God fills us in secret. And God has an inexhaustible supply of oil, whether anointing for service or providing for our needs. Jesus said regarding prayer, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. I ask you, when was the last time you went in and shut the door upon yourself and got before the Lord and let him pour out and fill you with his oil? Go, borrow vessels, not a few. When thou art come in, shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour out into those vessels and set aside that which is full. Again, we need to recognize in verse 7, this woman's behavior throughout this whole scene is remarkable. Verse 7 says, then she came and told the man of God. When this woman received this amazing supply of oil, she went to the one who had instructed her in how to get that oil in the first place so that she would know what the Lord would have her to do next. Someone said she went to the Lord with her problem, and she went back to the Lord with her prosperity. She went to God with the need, and then she went to the Lord when God had supplied that need to know how to best use what he had provided for her. Too often when God grants us some special provision, we do not stop to give thanks or to ask him for wisdom in best using what he's given to us. This woman says, okay, we have oil. What do we do now? God has provided this oil for us. What do we do? We need God's help as much after he provides as when asking him to provide. Because prosperity, much, can be a snare. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Verse 9 says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. James in James chapter 1 describes different types of temptation or tests. There are tests of adversity. The rich, when he's made low. And the brother of low degree, when he's exalted. In both cases, we need God's wisdom, how to handle adversity and how to handle prosperity. We go to the Lord, and God gives wisdom. This woman comes back, and she tells the man of God, again, seeking God's wisdom, not only how to overcome a problem, but how to handle prosperity. Okay, how can we best use what God has provided for us? Well, finally, there in verse 7, Elisha says to the woman, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. The Lord not only provided oil, but it's to be understood that he provided a bunch of people who needed oil, and a bunch of people who were willing to buy oil from this widow and her two sons. That's the further extension of that miracle. God did all of these things. And the money provided by the sale of this oil then enabled this woman to clear her family's debts, to clear her family's name, and then even to have a livable income for years to come. God cares for lowly people in lowly situations. Let's be reminded by this true story that Jehovah Jireh sees our needs, and he has all the compassion and all the resources to meet those needs. Lord, thank you for your word and for such an encouraging story to see your love and compassion for a widow and her sons and who are in just a very desperate situation, especially in that time and time period, Lord. We thank you for that encouragement, Lord. May we be encouraged to know that Jesus cares. He cares when we've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to us. He cares when we have material needs, when we have spiritual needs. I pray that you'd help us to be like this widow, that we would come boldly and cry to you, that we would pour out our hearts before you to seek your help in every time of need and every kind of need. Please help us as your people, Lord, to be gracious and giving. Pray that you'd open our eyes to opportunities where we can be a help and a blessing to those, Lord, that you would have us help. Help us to do good unto all men, but especially unto those who are of the household of faith. I pray that you'd graciously provide for every need represented here tonight, and that you would give us wisdom, heavenly wisdom, to use what you've given to us in a way that best glorifies and honors you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question. Have you come as an empty sinner and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to take away your sins, to come in and save your soul? Have you come to him as that empty vessel? Has Christ come in and filled you? How many tonight would say, "Preacher, yes, that has happened in my life, and I can tell you, the time it happened, when it happened, when I came to Jesus as a lost sinner. He saved me. He lives within my heart by his Spirit." If that's you, would you quietly raise your hand? You'd say, "Yes, I'm trusting Jesus tonight. Thank you." If you're unable to raise your hand, would you right now be willing to receive him? The Lord told us, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." To believe on Jesus is to receive him. Would you receive him tonight? Christian, do you have a special need? Maybe it's a physical need, a material need. Maybe there's a relational need, a spiritual need. What is it that you need? Well, you first of all believe that your Heavenly Father cares for you. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves even me. God cares for you personally. He wants and is willing to meet your need. Will you believe that? And will you show that you believe that by crying to him and asking him to meet that need? And lastly, are you an available, clean, empty vessel, fully given to the Lord so that he can fill you and use you in his service? Have you presented your body as a vessel to be used in God's service? Would you do that tonight? Would you let him use you to be a channel of blessing? Lord, again, thank you for speaking to our hearts. I pray that your word might be a help to us in the days ahead. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.